The message today is short, the message is sweet, and the message is surprisingly simple. Your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who sits at the right hand of God, is the judge of all things, and he will return. He will return one day to gather the sheep and the goats, those who have oil in their lamps, those who do not. All of them, it seems, who are sleeping at some point, he will return. And as we talked about last week, it'll happen just like that. Scripture talks about a thief in the night, something you can't prepare for. Last week we heard as well that when he returns, it'll be as if lightning flashes in the east, and of course then can be seen as far as the west. That quick, that certain, Christ your Lord will return. Now, how are the odds looking for you for his return? Will you be a sheep? Will you be a goat? How about these 10 virgins in our gospel story for today? Will you be one of the five who remember to take oil with you so that you're ready for the bridegroom? Or will you be these other five foolish ones who just simply reject all that oil nonsense? Speaking of odds, as we talked about lightning last week, as we hear Jesus' words of his return, did you know that according to the National Weather Service, there are over 500 people a year who are struck by lightning? Matter of fact, as natural disasters or events occur in our world, lightning is number two on the list. Did you know that? Number one is flooding. Lightning, a close second. 500 people a year struck by lightning, and of those roughly 500 a year, about 10% die. 50 deaths a year from lightning strikes. I guess if you want to figure out your odds for getting struck by lightning, you can do that with the current population and where you live, but I'm not going to go that far. But I can tell you this. The odds of Jesus returning, the odds of there being a judgment day, 100%. It will happen at some point. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Our dear Lord will return. There will be a judgment day, and those with faith will go to be with him in the new heaven and the new earth that he creates, as Isaiah in our Old Testament text paints a beautiful picture of. Sins from the past, problems of this world gone, no more crying, no more weeping, no more death, no more calamity. A new heaven and a new earth awaits. This will occur. Which brings us, of course, to the gospel text for today. As Jesus attempts to explain this to his disciples, to all that he has been preaching to, and to us here today. He says the kingdom of heaven is like this. 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Now you might say to yourself, okay, so this is what, like bridesmaids? I mean, preparing for a wedding? It's a little bit more than that. And I told you it's short and simple and sweet, right? So I'll give it to you. You remember in Scripture, wherever virgins and bridegroom is mentioned, the connection is always to Christ and his church. Christ, your Savior, the one who will return to judge, is the bridegroom. The virgins, if you will, one of two explanations. The church, the bride of Christ. So 10 virgins could represent just 10 individual people, symbolic of all of humanity, or could be 10 churches, if you will. But regardless, they have lamps. But did you notice it doesn't say in the text that they each just have one lamp? It's just lamps, plural. Lamps, plural. And so, now we've got this concept of oil. What is this oil that they take with them? Is it their good works, as some churches might teach? Grace that is some sort of power that enables them to stack up and fill their lamps because of what they do? some sort of power that God gives to you to do good works to your neighbor and to God, and just fill up your lamp with that, and then you'll be good when the bridegroom comes calling. Now, that doesn't square with Scripture, does it? What's interesting here through Scripture, especially in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians there, is the fact that all of them fall asleep. The wise ones and the foolish ones, they're all asleep. All 10 of them, even the wise ones. So what will you be doing when your Lord returns? Surely you've thought about that. Some people ask this question of us pastors and just in general all the time. What if I'm in the midst of sin when Jesus returns? What if I'm doing something that I know I'm not supposed to be doing? And he comes and he catches me. Well, first of all, your Lord sees everything you do right now. Everything. You can't hide anything from God. What you might hide from your spouse, from your family, from your friends, from your government, from your bosses, the Lord knows. He sees all. So how will the situation be any different on Judgment Day? When exactly is it that you are not a sinner? Which is the message of Scripture, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that all of us at some point are asleep because of who we are. Which means we need a bridegroom to come rescue us. We need a bridegroom to come and bring us into a relationship in which we will be totally and completely cared for. We need someone to watch over us and love us and nourish us. And guess what? He comes. God sent forth his Son, born of a virgin, born under law, to redeem those, you and me, those who are asleep, to redeem us with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. You see, Jesus never fell asleep like the disciples did. Jesus never fell asleep like you do. Jesus was found holy and completely righteous all the way up to the point that he gave up his own spirit upon the cross for you. Even the disciples, as Jesus traveled around with them, they didn't get it. The disciples, like all 10 virgins, were more concerned with this life right now. Matter of fact, in John 4, the disciples are worried about Jesus because to him, to them, he's like a workaholic. The guy needs to go play golf or make a quilt or go pheasant hunting or do something. He just needs a little break. And they're worried about Jesus just totally overworking himself. And they're asking themselves this question there in John 4. Has anybody brought Jesus something to eat? We need to make sure he sits down, take a little load off, right? You ever have someone pamper you like that and it really annoys you? I had a dad. I still have a dad. Don't tell him I said that. I had the type of dad who would force us to eat breakfast. It just drove me nuts. Oh, I grew up with this whole breakfast is the most important meal of the day, and just give me a bowl of cereal or a granola bar and just let me sleep as late as I can and get out the door. But oh no, dad's got to be in the kitchen fixing some sort of breakfast. Some sort of special breakfast every day. The time that man put in, wow. I think about it now as he did what he could to care for his children according to his vocation. And it just so happened because my wife's a school teacher, guess what I've had to do since my boys were in school? Make breakfast. At first, oh, I hated it. I really did. I just hated it. It was a job. It was work. But now, after many years of doing it, I really enjoy it. I really enjoy making stuff that they normally wouldn't eat and then forcing them to eat it. Yeah. And so the disciples here, they don't get this. They understand the work that's to be done, but so Jesus says to them, he says, hey man, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. You see, Jesus came not for himself. Jesus came not for his own lamp, so to speak. Jesus came for you. You are the bride of Christ. And he came to redeem you, to pay for your sins with his precious blood in his crucifixion upon the cross, to live a life that you could not, of staying awake the whole time, never falling asleep, never being drunk, always being sober. Jesus did this for you. And so what is this oil now that you have as a virgin, whether as part of the church, whether as an individual person? Well, the lamp really is you. You are the lamp. And the oil? Well, it's pretty simple. The oil is faith. Faith that your dear Lord gives to you. Faith which comes from hearing the Word of God read and preached to you. Faith given to you in the waters of holy baptism. Faith given and nurtured in the body and blood of Jesus, in the bread and the wine. Forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Medicine of immortality, as Augustine and Luther and many others called it. The means of grace and God's holy word, these are here now that your lamp, that you may be full, that you may be prepared for when the bridegroom returns. I don't know what you will be doing when he returns. I don't know what I will be doing, but I know this much. You and I are sleepy sinners. But because of what Christ has done, you are in good stead. For his blood, his righteousness covers over you. It's so simple. It's so sweet. Christ has come to give you oil, that is faith, has promised to preserve you even through death itself, that you too, like him, will rise one day, that you too will ascend like him, and that you will receive all the gifts that the good bridegroom provides of a new home, of a new life. Look forward to these things in these dark and latter days, and do so with seriousness, but do so with hope. Do so with the assurance and the certainty that though you may not ever get struck by lightning, Christ will return, and he's promised to provide for you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.